When I am in a trajectory that I don't want to be into, when there's interference and corrosion to the inspiration that I'm always connected to, I practice getting rid of that feeling.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Hey, hello, everyone. We are dialing the first call. Make sure you text me your questions, 949-298-2905.
Christian.
Keith Chapman, how are you?
Christian Peak.
Christian, thank you. All right, it's exciting. Here on Thursday morning, I'm going to Disneyland this afternoon. If anyone wants to come see me, I'll be walking around Disneyland, checking out the new Star Wars. It should be good. I'm very, very excited.
Hello.
Hey, Christian, it's David Meltzer.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for reaching out. I'd love to answer your question. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm just in the rut of life, and I was like, man, I wonder what Dave surrounds himself with every day to like keep upbeat. And like sometimes I get upbeat, and then like you know how life gets, it just goes. You go and you get in the groove, and I was wondering what you do to prevent that.
So I've been on a 13-year-old stringent practice every day of enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. What does that mean? I'm on a mindset training. As one of my mentors, John Assaroff, calls it, inner size, utilizing my mind and exercising my mind and understanding it's a practice. So when I am in a trajectory that I don't want to be into, when there's interference and corrosion to the inspiration that I'm always connected to, I practice getting rid of that feeling. And I
Okay.
do that mainly by challenging myself to, number one, be aware of when I feel that way. So a lot of times, we have already spiraled, we've already accelerated in the wrong direction because we're not aware of some of the needs that create the interference or corrosion. What are those needs? The need to be offended, the need to be separate, the need to be resentful, the need to be anxious, frustrated, scared, the need to be inferior, superior, angry. All of these needs, what I started doing was practicing at first just being aware of when I felt an emotion that was creating interference or corrosion to my inspiration. That was accelerating me in the wrong trajectory. Once I determined in that practice, then I practiced how quickly I could find the light, the love, the lessons in whatever was making me feel that way. And believe it or not, 13 years later, I'm still practicing. But just like golf, if I practice every day golf, which I don't have the time to do, but if I did, I promise you I'd be much better at golf than I am today. I'm much better at this inspiration stuff. I'm much better at being happy. I'm much better at being at peace. I'm much better at being of service and of value to others because I practice it. So what I want you to do is to lower the bar and just practice today trying to find one time during the day that you're aware of when you're in the wrong trajectory, when you're accelerating in the wrong trajectory, when you're accelerating in the wrong direction, and just understanding how you feel. If you can, then go ahead and practice finding the light, the love, and the lessons in it. If not, just practice being aware. You're so young, you're so talented, you will diminish the time that you don't feel inspired, which you define as being in a rut. I'm telling you, there are no ruts. There's just interference and corrosion to that which inspires you. Does that help you, my friend?
Yes, that does.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate it. That's a great question. I know so many people feel that way so much of the time. And one of my main missions is to help people lessen that interference and corrosion. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of my community. And I'll look forward to answering more questions. So take care, buddy.
Thank you, you too.
Take care, Christian. All right. I think Christian feels the way that a lot of people feel. And as you know, my main mission is to empower over a billion people in my lifetime to be happy. And that is one of the key exercises, or should I say, as Assaroff does, the key exercises that is necessary in order to be happy is to, number one, be aware of that which creates interference and corrosion to inspiration. And then two, practice finding the light, the love, and the lessons in why you feel that way. And you can change your life, your mindset immediately. Who are we calling here now?
George, he just wants 3 minutes.
Jorge wants 3 minutes of Dave Meltzer's time. that fits within the 520 rule, and you know.
Hello.
Hola, Jorge. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Por qué no comes la comida, amigo? What's going on, Georgie?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's Dave Meltzer. You wanted 3 minutes of my time. What value are you going to provide to everybody in that 3 minutes, my friend? What question do you have?
Hey, so, wow. First of all, thank you. I'm honored that you actually called me. So, David, I'm in the venture capital finance game, and I have a fund, and I like to speak to like-minded people like yourself, winners, and you guys, sometimes when you're trying to speak to a certain caliber of... Say again?
No, you just broke up. When I'm speaking to a certain caliber of...
When I'm trying to speak to a certain caliber of people, or when I am, how do I get more very wealthy, financially like-minded people on the phone? You know, getting... I know there's other mediums right now, like social media, that we can direct message. I do consume your content, but what's your best advice for me when I want to speak to potential investors and getting people on board to invest in my fund? And, you know, I'm usually looking to deal with the higher... as far as on a financial success,
yeah.
Trying to speak to the upper echelon of that group.
So I have a philosophy called trust the gatekeeper. And what happens is people, they do the exact same thing, not only over and over again and get the same results themselves, but they do the exact same thing that other people do and get the same results and create more competition and more scarcity amongst those people because they're all directing their attention towards the same people with the same intention. And what I want you to do is to change that and to trust the gatekeeper. And trusting the gatekeeper means that during the day, you will interact with people on the phone, you'll interact with people in person, you'll interact with people via email, and you'll interact with people, as you said, during media, radio, print, TV, and social media. Now, most people don't trust the gatekeeper, meaning they don't trust the fact that we're all connected and we're all here to provide service or value to and through each other as we are connected. You will change the way that you do business when you realize there's three things in the context of trusting the gatekeeper that will allow you to expand exponentially this network of high net wealth individuals. Number one, always speak to everyone that you meet in person, on the phone, via email and media with credibility. Always speak to everyone and tie in the questions to emotionally tie in of how you can be of service or of value, a series of questions, whether you know the person or just met them or not, or you think they're rich or they're not, it doesn't matter. Trust the gatekeeper, have an emotional attachment, find out what they're doing today, what they like, what they don't like, and how you can be of service or of value. And that will allow you to simply ask a series of questions to see if they know anyone that can help you. When you trust the gatekeeper, you're leveraging over 1,000 people per person because they have a network now that 100%. Extends far beyond. And guess what? I know this about being poor. Every poor person knows a rich person, right? They may not take a bit. So what I want...
I agree with you 100% there.
Awesome, man. So you know, get in that practice. Also, for everyone out there that is so kind in asking, please share my content, the stuff that you like, and do good deeds. I'm also looking for bigger stages so I can get to over 1 billion people. So anybody that's out there that does annual meetings or workshops or whatever with your company, sales forces and executive leadership, or just how to be happy or healthy or well, go ahead, give me a ring. I'm getting huge stages and requests, and the more the merrier. So go ahead, let me know.
I'm absolutely sharing your content. Just on that note, I'm absolutely sharing your content. I find your stuff so valuable. I'm always sharing it with people, either direct message. I haven't done a lot of reposting, but I'm definitely on that. Remember the name George Morris. I will be in contact with you. I really am so grateful for your time and for everything you do for everyone.
I appreciate it. I look forward to working with you, George Morris. That sounds like a closer for the Dodgers, but... great name. I wish I had a good sports name.
Closer for the Dodgers. Hold on, I got to use it as a reference. Closer for the Dodgers. I'm not a baseball guy.
That's all right.
I'll use it next. Hey, man, I've been on Wall Street 20 years. I know I got it just for this.
Well, you know what a closer is, at least, if you've been on Wall Street 20 years.
I do.
All right.
David, thank you so much.
You got it, George. Take care.
I'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Right on. So, you know, I think trusting the gatekeeper is an extremely valuable lesson. You never know where the touch of favors are. I have met so many extraordinary people, because I am just looking for that number one, credibility, emotional attachment. I don't even have to get to the quantitative reasons, the straight math, the profitability, you know, where, you know, hey, if you invest $5,000, you're going to make $10,000. I guarantee it. That profitability always helps. But when we're talking to the gatekeeper, the best thing we can do is find how we can be of value, how we can provide service, treat people and do good deeds, open those doors, smile, talk to people, see what they're doing today, what they like and what they don't like. Explore that so you can ask them that critical series of questions to determine how and if they know anyone through their network at a minimum of 1,000 people, they can provide value or service to you. Create the flow in your life, less resistance, less shortages, voids, and obstacles. This stuff does not have to be hard. You just have to ask. Remember my Home Depot example, or right? The number one warranty sales at Home Depot is the self-checkout because it asks every time. You need to be like the Home Depot warranty, ask every single time. Hey, Rob, this is Dave Meltzer. How are you?
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for reaching out and love to answer a question for you to help everybody out.
Awesome.
What's going on?
Tough thing for me is, you know, I've been in the picture framing industry. I have my own frame shop. I've had my business for 13 years now, and I've been in the industry for about 23. And toughest thing for me is, you know, I go out to the convention every year, which is, you know, an amazing time. About 4,000 to 5,000 picture framers from all over the world gather, and I'm really well known there. And then I get back, and I'm just being back to that regular person, and I seem to settle into a bit of a depression every single year after I get back.
Wow.
Nobody really knows who I am. Nobody understands what we do. You know, it's, you know, picture framing is a weird little industry that everybody has on their wall. Every single person has. The first thing you usually do when you set up a new office is put your family photos out. But no one has a clue where any of that comes from, you know. And it just seems to get, you know, after I'm out there and know everybody and everybody knows me, I get back here and it's kind of like, ugh.
Let me help you out, my friend. So yeah. One of the difficult things that we have in life, and I had in my life, especially earlier, is called definition problems. People mm-hmm. define themselves in odd ways. And when we, for example, I defined myself by my money. And that carried on from the time I was 5 years old. I was consistently evaluating myself and defining myself so my money. So the same thing would occur to me. Every time I made money, I felt super good and connected and wonderful and heroic. And every time I lost money, I felt like my hero, the zero. And that's what's occurring to you, is that you are defining yourself by what you do. And so what I'm going to do to correct that, and it's okay to take joy in what you do and to learn to love what you do and to learn to love the attention of people that respect what you do because you do it well. And build that community, by the way, in person, on the phone, via email and media, so that it's omnipresent in your life, so you have that reinforcement. But we need to work on your definition of you. You need to have more than I am a picture framer. By the way, my grandfather owned United Auto Parts, built it, retired the day he turned 65, but did not want to stop working. So 3 to 5 days a week until he was 95 years old, he had a part-time job framing pictures. So I know the business really well. But what I loved about my grandfather and what he taught me was he was not a picture framer, right? He was a grandpa. He was a community leader. He was a picture framer. He was an auto guy. He was, right? So all of these different things made and accumulated. So how did he become that? This is the exercise I want to give everyone. If you're defining yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here's what's worse. Don't let anybody else define you either, right? If somebody says positive or negative things about you, all they're defining themselves is someone that's positively or negatively judging you, which is fine for them, but we're not voting for what other people think of us. We're voting for how and what we define ourselves. How do we define ourselves then? What I want you to do every day, and it's only going to take 5 to 10 minutes a day, I want you to take inventory of your personal values, of your experiential values, of your giving values, and of your receiving values. And when you start defining yourself by your values every day and understanding those values don't have to be balanced, those values can change and evolve. You can be a hypocrite by changing your mind every single day and say, I like steak, I don't like red meat, I like steak. I don't care. Neither does anyone else, because you define you by the values that you have, and what you have created is shortages, voids, and obstacles, because you have defined yourself in one particular silo that really only exists in certain times and places on earth for you. So what I want you to do to heal that is to expand that definition. Expand it by utilizing your values, but also expand the thing that makes you feel best, the picture framing community, by putting it in person, on the phone, social media, so that's just not once a year at the annual meeting. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, no, it does.
Awesome. And you will feel good. There is nobody that can define you. You are a multifaceted person. You're a wonderful person. You're full of all types of purpose, passion, and profitability. Don't forget it. Explore it and take inventory for yourself, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
You got it, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
You got it. Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all of the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.